Today's show is brought to you by LMH Strategies, Inc., a leadership, management, and human systems consulting company.
That's one of the things that people didn't understand, the difference between now and then, that the skill level, yeah, he had skills, but game experience and all the other things, as you said, with having a bunch of guards who already had skills and had experiences versus Mike, who did. One of the great things about what happened with Mike was that because he was 5'9", and because he developed all those guard skills, and all of a sudden you got somebody who has all these guard skills, and now he blows up to 6'4", 6'5". Yeah, you know, that separated him from a lot of people.
Welcome to Field Goals for the Focus Driven Athlete, hosted by Glenn Hames, where we share tips and strategies that help amateur athletes, coaches, and teams achieve their on and off the field athletic goals. Our show discusses topics important to the elite amateur athlete. Whether you play football, basketball, soccer, or any other active sport, either on the field or court, our experienced industry experts, coaches, and former professional athletes will provide firsthand insight on topics that will give athletes who desire to play sports at the highest level an edge over their competition, and undoubtedly will help turn their athletic goals into a reality. When there's a new season, there are new goals. What's your field goals? Welcome to Bucktown, USA, or as we are officially known, Emsley Armfield Laney High School, located in the port city of Wilmington, North Carolina, home of the Buccaneers, where we bleed royal blue and gold all day. We ain't never scared. Man, let me tell you, and I know this might sound cliche-ish right now, but I went to the best high school in the country straight up. And it was definitely the best high school in Wilmington and arguably the best high school in the state of North Carolina. So when I think about my high school experience and all the memories that come with it, just like most, some were good and some were not so good, because that's just the time of your life when you start to understand who you are and the type of person you really want to be and don't want to be. And despite me going through all those awkward stages and learning what works and what doesn't, I learned many valuable life lessons, like the significance of hard work, dedication, and being disciplined. Now, don't get me wrong. I had fun. I had a lot of fun. And I made some lifelong friends along the way that I still keep in touch with to this very day. So let me give a shout out to our former principal, Dr. Kenneth McLaurin, who was our version of Joe Clark. Because when he was tapped to be the first principal to head our school in 1976, he immediately set the tone for us to be the best high school in the region. And you straight up wasn't going across Mr. McLaurin either, because he was the principal that knew everybody's mom and daddy. So if you cut up, your butt was going to get toe up from the flow up. But I got to give Mr. McLaurin a lot of credit, or like the young folks say, I'm going to give him his flowers while he's still here. Because a major part of what shaped me and my peers' high school experience was the people he handpicked to help run our school. Our teachers, our coaches, and our support staff were just phenomenal. And our athletic coaches and teams made us competitive and winners. I mean, we won multiple conference, regional, and state championships in all our major sports programs. And when you have the best basketball player in the world, the GOAT, Michael Jeffrey Jordan, as a student and walking those halls as a teenager, that's an automatic qualifier for us being the best high school in the country. And I got to believe it was at that moment when Michael walked through those gym doors, the Laney legacy and precedent was set. But before Michael became Michael, one of the people Mr. McLaurin hired that shaped him and our athletic program from the very beginning was Clifton Pop Herring, who was the first head coach for the men's basketball team at Laney from 1977 to 1982. And he led the Buccaneer program to 3 divisional semifinals and 1 regional semifinal. Now, I'll get into his legacy and story more a little later, but for now, I gotta also mention his 2 assistants that were just as significant, Coach Ron Coley and Coach Fred Lynch, who both still remain a part of the Laney's family to this day. Now, after Pop left the program, Coach Lynch took over the mantle to become the next head coach of the men's varsity basketball team, while Coley remained as an assistant, and together they helped make Laney's basketball a respected and widely known program across the state. And during his 27 years as head coach, Coach Lynch compiled more than 500 career wins, led the Bucks to 6 Mid-Eastern Conference titles, two state sectionals, and compete in the 1999 state championship game against West Charlotte. He was also the head coach for both the North Carolina East-West and North-South All-Star basketball games. His accomplishments awarded him the honor of being inducted into Laney's 2013 Hall of Fame class and the North Carolina Athletic Directors Hall of Fame 2021 class for his many years of hard work and dedication to the Buccaneers athletic program. Now serving as the athletic director, Coach Lynch will always be remembered for his contributions to both education and athletics at Laney as he continues to stick to his fundamentals and principles that he instilled in so many of us for years, to first and foremost be an outstanding student and then to be a good citizen. So I never imagined that one day I would actually have the privilege to chop it up with one of the many people who made a lasting impression in my high school experience and helped shape me into the person that I am today. So I'm super excited that my next guest to be featured on the Field Goal Spotlight is no other than Coach Fred Lynch, coming up next on Field Goals for the Focus-Driven Athlete. Hey, welcome back to the Field Goals for the Focus-Driven Athlete podcast. I'm super excited about this next guest. And quite frankly, you actually should be too, because I know you all may have some level of familiarity with this man's name and who he is when it comes to high school basketball in the state of North Carolina, especially as it relates to a certain basketball Hall of Famer. But his legacy and his influences is much, much bigger than that. I actually know him on a personal level, and I want you to do the same. He's one of my high school coaches. Coach Fred Lynch, welcome to the field.
Thank you, sir. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you, man. So, Coach, I'm actually here laughing to myself because I graduated from Laney 32 years ago, and I still remember the days of waking up at 5:30, 6 o'clock a.m. to be on that football practice field where you and Coach Toto and Coach McDonald and Boylan and others were just yelling at us and running our butts into the ground in that hot ass sun.
But trust me, I hated those 5:30 practices just as bad as you guys did.
They were brutal.
It was always wet and muggy and mosquitoes and you name it. It was that early.
Oh,
I hated it.
Man.
I would get on Coach Toto, why are we practicing this early in the morning? It doesn't make sense. But it was a lot of fun. I know it wasn't fun for you guys, but it was something that you guys persevered.
Yep.
You didn't die from it. You're still around.
No, it actually made us better men, man. I still reflect on that to this day. But you know what? We got to give a shout out to my Laney brother, Kevin Wittett, who was actually a guest of ours during the first season. And Kevin, man, he was like, hey, yo, Glenn, you got to get Coach Lynch on the show, man. Go ahead, man. Get him on. He got a story.
Kevin's such a great person. He's got that big heart. He's always trying to look out for everybody else besides himself. He's done some great things with the kids in Memphis. I'm really proud of his successes through the years.
Absolutely. Me too. So before we get started, I got to ask you how the boys are looking this year, both in football and basketball.
Football, we had a fairly good year. We a little bit disappointed. We thought we were good enough to win the conference. Like in anything in athletics, it takes one or two injuries and it changes your team. Yeah. But we did finish 6-4. We beat in the first round of the playoffs. But yeah, overall, it was not a bad year. Like I said, we lost our best running back early in the season, changed things a little bit. But we had an outstanding quarterback in Ty Little. Had a great year. He was second-time player of the year. So he did a lot to keep us going, but it's a good year.
Good.
Basketball-wise, it's been good. Our boys are 5-0. They're playing really well. Our girls are 4-1. So basketball's off to a good start. So, good. Yeah, I think we're going to be really good. I don't know if we'll be good enough to win the States. Hey, we'll see.
All right, man. That's what I'd like to hear. Let's keep that pride, that energy, that magic going that we created such a long time ago. All right, Coach, there's the whistle. And for us, that means it's actually time to get on the field. So you ready to take the field?
I'm ready to take the field.
All right, let's jump into it. So, Coach, I can actually take this conversation in so many directions. But first, I really want to give our listeners an opportunity to understand the love and the pride that is associated with Laney High School, because there's just nothing like it. And even before I got to Laney, I had it and I just wasn't there yet. But because our junior high school was literally right next door, we could walk over all the time to hang out at the school and watch the boys practice. Right. And I was just so fortunate because, you know, I had my older brother who was there before me, and I would come over to watch him play baseball. But he would also bring me to the football and basketball games. And as a young kid, that's very impressionable when hanging out with your older brother and his friends. So I would just be so fascinated and thinking like, dang, I just can't wait till I get there. So how would you describe the pride that is associated with Laney High School?
Oh, it is. It's really special. As you said, at that time we had the feeder schools, you guys at Trask, and a lot of kids from D.C. Burgo. And it was at that time, it was almost like this family neighborhood thing. Everybody looked forward to coming to Laney High School. I cannot wait until I get to wear that jersey. I get to get on the field, get to get on the court. But that's the thing that Laney created even almost from day one in 76 when we opened. And it just continued to build and continue to grow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. So you were actually one of the first hires when Laney opened in 76. So where do you think that energy came from? And would you say that our pride for the school was actually initially set by Mr. McLaurin, who was Laney's first principal?
Mr. McLaurin was mainly responsible for everything great that happened to Laney High School in those early years. The strange story about it is that when I first came to Wilmington, he hired me to teach at D.C. Burgo. Mm. And before the school year started, he was moved to Laney, but they were still building Laney. So he set the groundwork then, even before anybody even walked in the door, before they ever laid the brick. Mr. McLaurin was already getting Laney started. So he was the man. Everybody knows it. Anybody in this town knows it. Laney High School with Mr. Ken McLaurin.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I actually forgot that he was over at D.C. Virgo first. But yeah, he went there and then came to Laney and right. before it was officially built. So you've been actually there now for over 40 years. So looking back from the beginning to where we are now, what do you think Mr. McLaurin wanted to accomplish besides just giving kids a great education? And do you actually think he accomplished it?
His accomplishment was pride in Laney High School. I think that was the major thing that we took from that. The successes, the tradition, all the things that he thought public school should be. And he was a leader in it. I think he's been successful. I mean, even today, when we talk about us old timers, we talk about Laney High School, the first thing we talk about is Mr. McLaurin and all the things that he meant. Some of the traditions that he established even then, we finally reinstituted, as a matter of fact. We went back, as you recall, on homecoming. What homecoming was, it was a wild day with the pep rally and the parades and all those things. And those things died out a couple of years ago. And with my new principal that came in, I said, look, we need to go back to the old traditions that we had back in the day, like Laney High School with Mr. McLaurin. So we went back to having our parade. It's the first time we had our parade in probably 20 years or more. Wow. So the things that he started then, the fun, the camaraderie, we were able to bring back.
That's wonderful. So, for me, looking back, it was the faculty that, more than anything, that made a huge difference in my years there. And you know why? It was because I think he just did such a great job with hiring the right people to help him run the school. Right. And he also just did a great job with fostering a culture that was just inclusive for all students. And I don't know if I really understood it or just knew it at the time, but later, I realized that I appreciated seeing teachers and staff in just really good roles that looked like me. And that just made such a huge difference for me. And I know it also made a difference in my peers and just elevating the pride and love that we have for our school.
In order for any school to be successful, there has to be that relationship between the teachers and the students. And it can't just be in the classroom. As you say, going to events, or hanging out at the cafeteria, the school dances where teachers were there. And Laney has always been special like that. And I think what has happened in a lot of schools now is that you had that disconnect. And that's what we're trying to go back and reestablish again. That we know with the years, COVID years, the kids not being in the classroom and not being around people or not being around the teacher. So it changed. But here at Laney High School, I think we have reinstituted that. And we have a faculty that is supportive. We have a new principal who is all about making school about our students. And it's been great.
And those are actually the things that I feel like make a great high school as well, that the parents and the community can just rally behind. Right. Having that combination of a great staff that can provide not just a quality education, but also what you guys did athletically with providing a winning or strong competitive athletic program. And I feel like during the times that we were there, we had both, amongst other great things, because we also had the best music program in North Carolina. Rest in peace, Lee Gilliard. Yes. When we talk about McLaurin's academic and athletic vision for Laney and just the Buccaneer pride, we got to go back and we got to mention Coach Clifton Pop Herring, who was the first coach for the men's basketball program at Laney from 1977 to 1982. And he led the Bucks to 3 divisional semifinals and 1 regional semifinal. But the cool thing was that you were actually an assistant under Coach Pop Heron during that time. So talk about his legacy and what it was like being a part of the initial sports program at Laney and the success that you guys experienced during that time.
I owe a lot to Coach Pop Heron there. I was the coach at the D.C. Virgo, but he allowed me to come and hang out at Laney High School and be his assistant and just to learn from him. He was special. The way that he was able to relate to his players, his knowledge of the game. And every once in a while, he'd take the players in and spank them one-on-one just to let them know that I'm still the man around.
Hey, Pop could play. People don't realize that.
Oh, hey, Pop could really play. Pop, I don't know if we had anybody come through who could shoot better than Pop could.
Right.
But Pop, he established Laney basketball. And because it's about talent, he had some guys who could play, and they were willing to accept coaching, which is a great part of it. That you can have kids with a lot of talent, but they got to be willing to accept coaching. And he developed that rapport with players. They listened, and he learned, and they tried to execute the things that he did. And he was able to develop some really good players. And James Beatty was one of those that came along. You know, kind of put Laney on the map. David McGee, who also played on the team. So he was able to develop some talent. And he was able to also develop a coaching staff that could do the thing that he needed done. Any program that's going to be successful, it takes a lot. And he surrounded himself with people that were willing to learn from him and some people who could give us some things that would benefit us. The thing I admired about him also was the fact that he never would surround himself with yes people. In order to be successful, you got to have people who sometimes have ideas that you're willing to accept and people who kind of challenge you a little bit. And Pop was great at that.
Yeah. Pop and his family actually were pretty good friends with my mom and dad. And Pop was always known for opening up the gym at 6 a.m. and closing late for his players. And you talk about some of the players like Edie and all them. I can't remember all the details, but I do remember one evening he invited my dad to come look at another special kid that grew up in our neighborhood. And I just happened to be with him that night, and Pop told my father something like, yo, you got to come check this kid out, man. I really got something here. And my dad was like, yeah, who is it? Mike, man, Mike Jordan. And I know you told this story a million times. But I want you to talk to us about what that time was like being an assistant under Pop and coaching a teenage Michael Jordan.
It was easy. That's the thing about with Mike, with all his talents, he was still coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And it was easy to coach him because he wanted to be great. And we saw that even then that he wanted to be great and he was willing to put in the time. He's willing to go that extra mile. That's what separated. And coaching him, you know, especially at the time he was a junior, senior, he was almost like, look, just don't mess it up. Mm-hmm. You got somebody who has a lot of talent and had the respect of his teammates and played, and he still played within the team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was the biggest difference with Coach Mike is that you didn't have somebody who thought he was a prima donna. Give kudos to his parents. They took care of his ego.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. to the point that he wasn't somebody who felt like I'm above everybody else because I have talent. He was still humble about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that separates a lot of people that sometimes you have kids who, because they are more talented, they don't have to work as hard or that I'm better than everybody else. And Mike never was that
way. I don't think a lot of people know that by the time Michael actually got to Laney, that wasn't your first time coaching him and that you actually coached him in junior high when he was in the ninth grade at DC school. So what type of player was he like in junior high?
He was talented. He was talented. The thing at that time, he was an outstanding athlete. I think that's what separated him from most. That he also played football and basketball. He played baseball at DC Virgo, and he was outstanding at each one of those. Even then, you could see the talent, but he was the best player, the leading scorer. And he just had that, Mike just had that something that, and it's hard to describe it as a coach what it is, but you see it in some players that they just have that. Hit
yeah.
that other players don't. And Mike had that. Even at DC Virgo, you could see it. He was the starting quarterback on the team.
I didn't know that.
He was starting quarterback on our team and started in baseball. So he was that special person, even then as a ninth grader.
Mm-hmm. Wow. When people mention Mike's name, they obviously are going to be thinking about six-time Chicago Bulls Michael Jordan, right?
Yeah.
But
yes.
Clearly, at that time, when he was at school, he wasn't who he became. So how did you coach Mike differently that second time around as an assistant versus when you were a head coach at DC Virgo?
It was much easier for me in my role than it was at DC Virgo because at DC Virgo, I was the head coach, so I was responsible for everything. But here in Laney, with Pop Heron being the head coach, mine was just little things, skill development, fundamentals, and those things. So I didn't have to worry about coaching the entire team and game planning and making decisions, all that kind of stuff. That was Pop's job, so my job was easy. I was just to help develop players. And if I saw something that was out there that we needed to do, then that's what my job was. So I had the easy part. That second chair is always easy. We always joke about that in athletics that, hey, that first chair is tough now because you don't want to have to make all decisions. You got to make the substitutions. And that second chair, hey, I can sit back and watch and just help develop kids. The rest of it is on the man.
Wow. Yeah, you're right about that. You talked about Mike's being so special even when he was at DC Virgo and when he came over to Laney. What was the biggest challenge that you and Pop and Coach Coley had coaching an exceptional player like him?
I don't think it was really a challenge with him. And like I said, because he was coachable. I think that's the main thing is that sometimes you get players like that and they're not as coachable. Mike was. And we really didn't have a problem with that. I think Pop did a great job of bringing the other players around to where they needed to be. I think he did a great job of that. They understood that, okay, yeah, Mike is the best player, but Mike is just a part of the team. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Pop didn't treat him any differently. He didn't get special treatment. He didn't get to come to practice, not work hard in practice. None of those things happened. I think that's how he was able to bring the other players in that, you know, he wasn't treated like he was there. He had to, you know, because Mike had his little moments, joke about, you know, Gordon wanting his own seat on the bus and that kind of little stuff that I know, buddy.
Even back then.
Even back then. You see that in some other stuff when he was with the Bulls. Even back then, he was a little bit into that.
Yeah.
But overall, he was treated like everybody else. I think the players, I think that the players loved that because he wasn't. And he was just part of the team.
Yeah.
And Pop did a great job of making sure he was just part of the team.
Oh, I know Pop did. Pop didn't play, man. He didn't play at all. All right. We can't talk about Mike without going into the story. And I know you said you wouldn't talk about this for a while, but I'm glad you're actually doing it for me. So we got to talk about the great cutting myth about Michael getting cut his sophomore year. And I actually remember when Ahmad Rashad put y'all on blast when Mike retired that first time, saying, here are the coaches that cut Michael Jordan, and everybody started booing. That pissed me off too. Because I knew that they fell for the Hollywood version that Mike got cut because of his skills and came back the next year and just was so great. So let's clear it up right here, right now on the Field Goals podcast. I want you to tell us what really happened during that 78-79 season.
I am only discussing this because you are a Buccaneer for life. And that's it. But the real version is, as I said, Mike played at DC Virgo as a ninth grader. Came to Laney as a sophomore. And that we were pretty talented even without, and we were loaded with heavy laden with seniors and a lot of guards that could play. And what people also feel is that Mike was not 6'5" when he came to Laney High School. And he was talented, but Pop made a decision that he thought, he could play basketball, but he wouldn't play the number of minutes that he needed to. And so by him playing on the JV team, Mike get all the time and helped you to develop into, as we know, an outstanding ball player. So the Cliff Note version was, the Hollywood version was, he got cut, went home, practiced, and came back, and he was, quote, Mike Jordan. And we know that's not what happened. He did play JVs. So he was the best JV player that we had. He was probably the best sophomore. I'm sure he was the best sophomore in the conference. And as they say, the rest is history. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the myth was he got cut, and that was the story that got out there. And I think a lot of it had to do with the first one, Come Fly With Me.
Right.
And the edited quote, let me say, he got cut. And so from there, it blossomed. And gosh, it was a long time. We used to pick at Mike about that. Hey, you need to clear this mess up yourself.
Right.
So it was a long time before. And even when he said it, people are, he just saying it constantly. But Mike played in basketball. Nobody cut Mike Jordan. He was always there.
For sure. And the truth is, Mike, like you said, Mike just never really had much of a chance because Laney returned 11 seniors and 3 juniors on varsity that year, and 8 of them were guards. And the only sophomore spot that was open was going to go to Leroy Smith, who was 6'7", and Mike was just 5'9". So it really wasn't a question of talent. It was just circumstantial.
And that's the thing that people are saying. One of the things, even you look at today's basketball versus then, with the AAU program the way it is now, you know, when kids come in as sophomores now, good Lord, those who are really good, they have played hundreds of games, not because they on that age. And so their skill level is different. Their experience is a whole lot greater. And so now that's why you see more kids who are sophomores who are playing varsity. Back in those days, we didn't have AAU programs. The kids didn't play 200 games in the summertime and all that kind of stuff. So their development was more with us than someplace else. That's one of the things that people didn't understand the difference between now and then, that the skill level, yeah, he had skills, but game experience and all the other things, as you said, with having a bunch of guards who already had skills and had experiences versus Mike who didn't. And then Leroy, obviously, had Leroy not been the size that he was, Leroy probably been playing JBs also. One of the great things about that, what happened with Mike was that because he was 5'9" and because he developed all those guard skills, and all of a sudden you got somebody who has all these guard skills and now he blows up to 6'4", 6'5". You know, that separated him from a lot of people versus what happened with kids like Leroy, that when you're always the tallest kid, people have a tendency to stick you under the basket. So you don't develop ball handling skills. You don't develop those things. And look at today's world, the European players, that's why they were here a lot of times, because even the big guys had to go out and handle the ball and shoot from distance. It was different.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, that was great, man. Great story. Coach, there's the horn, and that means it's halftime. And this is actually a perfect time to take a break. We had a solid first half, and I'm glad we were able to clear that Michael Jordan story up. And I want to dive into your personal story and the post-Michael Jordan era when we return. So
okay.
How's that sound?
That sounds great.
All right, let's get this break started, and we'll jump back in after this quick word from our sponsor. More with Coach Lynch after this.
LMH Strategies is a leadership, management, and human systems consulting company that specializes in business transformation, program management, and supplier diversity. The professional team at LMH Strategies brings a diverse range of national and global experiences in various industries to help your organization achieve its objectives and deliver measurable solutions. The LMH Strategies impact results in improved workforces, better businesses, and a brighter world. Commercial, government, and higher education markets trust LMH Strategies as their business partner. And the team at LMH Strategies welcomes the opportunity to earn your trust too. For more information, go to lmhstrategies.com.
So, Coach, share with us your origin story, where your love for sports began, and where the fascination for basketball all started.
I grew up in the western part of North Carolina, a little town in Rutherford. And I was always involved in athletics. You know, but most of it was in the neighborhood stuff. We had neighborhood teams and baseball and football, those kind of things. But I think my love for basketball kind of started. Remember the first college game I ever watched was the game when Texas Western played Kentucky in the NCAA finals. I had some older cousins. They said, because of the history involved with that game, they said, look, you guys are going to sit down and you're going to watch this game. So I became interested in basketball there. But I loved baseball and football. But true story here, you know, a little bit of a sexist story, but we had some friends that we always hung out with on the weekends. We either went to their home in the little town, Spindale, or they came to us. We played basketball, and she was my classmate, but she also hung out with us a little bit. And we would play basketball, and she was better than me. And I'm like, now after a while, I'm like, look, she can't be better than me at basketball. Like, this can't happen. Some girl who beat me. And so, that's when I really started getting involved in basketball a little bit because of that. But I played all through high school. I was fortunate to have some pretty good coaches, develop my love for basketball. When I first went to high school, I was probably like 5'1". You had to learn, and it benefited me because I learned a lot about basketball in general, how to play, how to get yourself open, how to do some little things that would help some people who were like me. Mm-hmm. And I just developed this love for sports. I played three sports. I played football, basketball, and baseball. So it was then that I just fell in love with athletics. I decided at that time, even in high school, I said, I am going to teach history and I'm going to coach basketball. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do for my career. And I've been blessed that I've been able to do what I set out to do, even in high school. Mm-hmm. And it's been a great ride in athletics. It's helped you to develop a lot of things. Your love for people, your love for your teammates, teaching you so many skills as a person, as a citizen, that I benefit from those things. And when I became a coach, I carry those things with me.
If this makes you feel any better, my wife played Division I basketball. She was from New Jersey, so she had a lot of competition. And we played one-on-one. and she beat me too.
I would share that story that day.
Yeah, she was good, man. I used to body her all the time, but she could shoot lights out.
But yeah, you know, and it's kind of funny that you say that because skills are skills. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your gender. Right. If you can play. So I had to change a lot of things. Also, back in the day, talk about development. Because of my size growing up, and one of the best things, people like me develop because you're small. You're shooting the ball with two hands. Because you're not very strong when you grow up. And I should shoot that overhand, two hands. And then I said, nah, I got to change it. So I spent a whole summer. I got to shoot the thing with one hand. I look like I'm shooting like a girl. Yeah. and hope I don't get beat up about that statement. But so I said, nah, I got to change this. I was fortunate enough to, I played a year at Isothermal Community College, which was a community college in our town. Mm. Then I went to Winston-Salem State. And those of us who know about Winston-Salem State, that was at the time the Big House Gaines was mm-hmm. basketball coach and the legend.
Mm-hmm.
And so Big House Gaines, oh, hey.
Yeah, we know about Big House.
Talk about that later.
Yeah. But, yeah, and even though I didn't play for him, I was able to. And, you know, Big House is such a great person about it. If you want to learn basketball, you can hang around. Mm-hmm. And I would go to some of the practices and hang around and I learned a lot of basketball just watching him. Mm-hmm. And you couldn't help but learn basketball watching Coach Gaines.
Right.
So I learned a lot from him about just coaching in general and how to deal with people. Mm-hmm. And that was a blessing being at Winston when he was there. And as I said, so when I got out of graduating from Winston, I decided this is what I wanted to do. And fortunately for me, Mr. McGlone hired me and gave me an opportunity to start coaching.
Is that how you actually got into coaching? Was that DC Virgo? So I'm just curious to know, how'd you get into coaching?
When he hired me to teach, he okay. asked me if I was interested in coaching, and I jumped on that one immediately.
Oh, yeah.
When I told him, that's what I wanted to do, and that was my background. Mm. I love history, and I wanted to be a great teacher, but I also wanted to be a great coach. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I kind of got into it and just really became a little bit of a fanatic with it. And that really became my passion. Even though I coached other sports,
right?
Like I coached everything since I've been in high school. But basketball was it.
Yeah, that's what I know. Basketball was your sweet spot, but you also coached us in football as well. So how did you get involved with that?
I think just a lot of times, if you're coaching in middle schools, mm-hmm. you're expected to coach multiple sports, mm-hmm. and that's how I got involved in coaching football. But even then, a little story with that one, that Pop got me involved in that. Because Pop Harrell was also the JV football coach at Laney High School. Mm-hmm. And so because of my relationship with him, he brought me in with that too. Like I said, I learned a lot of lessons being around Pop. Mm-hmm. And so hanging out with him at football practice. But when I came to Laney, I also coached the JV football. Mm-hmm. And so I got involved in it and loved it. And I coached football I probably coached football here at Laney for probably 10, 15
yeah,
years.
Definitely. Yeah, I remember. I remember.
So, and it was always fun. You know, and I loved it. Sometimes it got to be a little bit of a issue because since we were good at football, yeah. it's kind of carried on in the basketball season.
Right.
So here we are. You know, November came, you guys were winning football games yeah. and we got the playoffs coming. But at the same time, basketball trial started November 1.
That's right.
And so generally, we would still have one or two more games. And so it was like, okay, I would leave football practice and then go to basketball practice.
Right.
That was, but it was fun. Yeah. It was fun. It was still fun hanging out with you guys with football. And all right, guys, I got to go.
You know what was crazy to see, though? I'm going to tell you what was really crazy for me. It was just to see you and Pop and Coach Coley, how you guys just got started in your coaching careers at such a young age and experienced yes. the type of early success that you did building a brand new program at a brand new school when most first-year coaches don't get the type of wins to the players until much, much later in their career. Did you yes. ever have that, I can't believe this moment, or what am I getting myself into as a young coach?
Not at the time. Maybe I was just too naive when I was young. But looking back at it, I was really blessed because when Coach Heron left, mm-hmm. and most people don't know this, that you probably do because you've been involved in Laney Pepper, but Coach Heron left, mm-hmm. I think, after the first week of trials.
Mm.
And mm-hmm. and then I got the job. And so I ended up, I did trials all over again because there were some kids that I said, well, I probably would have kept that kid, but he didn't. And that was fine. So I ended up inheriting the team. And after that first week, and then I was fortunate that it was tough that first year. I'll be the first one to admit that I think we finished maybe fourth in the conference that year and we took some pretty good spankings. Mm-hmm. And, but then all of a sudden, as the season got on, we got better. And we ended up winning the conference tournament. And mm-hmm. Laney had never done that. So I was very fortunate that we won, and I was able to get the kids to do and play how I wanted them to play. And so, yeah, I was very fortunate. I was lucky with
it. Yeah. Everybody and, else and says was, that. There's got to have a little bit of luck that goes into it.
Yes, you do. And I had the team on an interim basis. I don't think many people knew that. And so at the end of the year, we went to conference. And so I had to interview for the job. And this is a young person's ego. Yeah. And so I'm in the interview. And if somebody asked me, so why do you think you deserve the job? And I said, hey, because we won.
That's right.
Like I said, that's a young coach's answer. Like, hey, because we won. I don't know what else I can do. I took over the program. We were successful. Won the conference. First time ever. That's it.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, today, if I were answering that question, that wouldn't be my answer because we know basketball is more than about winning.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Obviously, you're most known for coaching Michael, but even after he left, you never had a shortage of talent. And I can't remember everybody, but I know we had some straight ballers coming in the lane. Some straight man calls, man. particularly during that 80s and 90s time frame. So I'm gonna throw out a few names of some guys that stood out during the 80s and 90s era. And I want you to give me your perspective of them and the team at that particular time. I'm gonna start with James Beatty, who we talked about a little bit earlier. You remember, we used to call him Sputnik back in the day. Talk about him briefly and that team that he was on, briefly.
He was probably on the first team that Lady had because that's when Lady opened. He'd been at Duesenberger also, and he came in really talented. He was really talented. He basically grew up in playing all the time, and he was just a lot of skill, had a lot of leadership abilities, could handle the ball, could pass it. He was special.
Yeah. All right.
And he went on to Winston-Salem State. That makes him okay, too.
Yeah. Zach Herring and Ray Gromolowicz, who was actually 6'7". And talk about that 1983 team that went to the Eastern Regionals.
Raymond was one of those late bloomers. Matter of fact, people are talking about stories. Raymond was one who got cut in middle school. And I'm like, how do you cut a kid in that big as him? Mm-hmm. But Raymond became an outstanding athlete, grew into that body. He could just get it done. But it wasn't a great score, but he was decent. Mm-hmm. Great rebounder, great defender. Raymond was sick.
Zach Herring was on that team, too.
Zach was, unfortunately for Zach, dude, everybody put a lot of pressure on him because he's supposed to be the next coming of Mike Jordan.
Right.
I'm like, that's not fair to anybody. But Zach could just flat out score. You know, you've seen some people, they can shoot the ball, they can do some other things, but Zach was just one of those kids who would just flat out score. It didn't make a difference who you guarded him with. He was just some kid who could just flat out score. And he did a great job for us. We used to pick on Zach a little bit, all his team, especially his senior year when we got, we really did senior year.
Yeah.
But the kid, we watched tape because of the style we played. It was full court, man to man. And Zach wasn't the greatest on that defensive end, but the players got to say, look, if we're going to be great, this is what you have to do. Yeah, they did all the right stuff.
Talk about that 1984 team with Greg Malloy and Mike Bird briefly.
Oh, man. Overachievers.
Yep.
Overachievers. I think that'd be one word to describe them. They were overachievers. Mm-hmm. We were not. Greg, 6'3 at the most. Maybe, I don't know if Greg ever got to 6'4", but they were just relentless. If I describe a team, they were overachieving because they just were relentless. They had that attitude that you can't beat us. No matter, I don't care about your size. I don't care about anything else you do. We can just fill our plate. Mm-hmm. Again, coaches' egos. Coach Cole and I, we were sitting down before that season. We're looking at the schedule. We're like, let's see. Looking at who we playing with. I tell you, we might lose three games. We might lose three games. We knew we were getting. We knew that defensively, they were probably the best defensive team we've ever had at Lady Hawk. They Willie Allen and Pittman and those kids, they just got after you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the thing that separated that team is that I don't remember a single time ever having to talk about it. And they held each other accountable. Mm-hmm. That was one of the greatest things about that team, that they didn't have to get on about working hard. Mm-hmm. They just did it.
And then you got that 87 team with Reggie Joe and Fred Allen, Willie's little brother.
They were like I said, I've been blessed and they had so much talent.
Yeah.
They played together. They played hard. And like I said, that team was pretty loaded. Reggie went up to Lithuania City.
Yeah.
Willie went to App State.
Fred
played. Kenny Mills went up to, got named Philly, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so that team was loaded.
Yep. And then in 88, you got Marcus Davis and Jermaine Shaw. That team was loaded too.
Yes. I've been blessed. I was so blessed in my career that it was never time I walked out to the court and I thought people got better talent. Mm-hmm. And the thing about that talent, and this is what I loved about, this is what I love so much about coaching is that, yeah, you got kids who have a lot of talent, but they always bought in. People ask me about my success as a basketball coach. And one of the things that I think separates great coaches from average coaches is your relationship with your players.
I agree.
And as an AD, I talk about that all the time. Coaching is about relationships with kids. If you do the right thing by them, they love you, they would do everything in the world to please you.
I agree. So I got to save the best for last. Class of 1990, when we had Kevin Whitted, Tim Robinson, Reggie Beatty. Reggie, we used to call Mookie.
Yeah.
Mookie. That was a great year, too.
That was a great year. We got beat. That team got beat in the Eastern Regional Finals.
Yep.
On the last second shot, we thought we scored. That's what I told the killer, guys. That's one of those plays that if we'd been at home, it would have been a basket. And we owned to the States.
Yep.
We were on the road.
Yeah. No, I remember.
That was one of the games that, that one really hurt because we were so good. We were so talented. We had everything that you wanted. We had size. We had outstanding guards. That year, I knew we had everything. Played hard. We got breaks. A couple of teams that we thought were better than us got knocked out. So all of a sudden, that path is there, and those kids took advantage of it. Mm-hmm. And we just happened to, in the state finals, happened to run up on West Shaw's best team with Jason Parker and the other kids. That team was so good and so loaded. When they substituted, but there was no drop-off. Mm-hmm. It was a great experience.
If you remember back in 1986, 1987 school year, that was actually our ninth grade year at Trask. We were undefeated, and D.C. Virgo was also undefeated. And I got to give a shout out to Coach Sheila Bowles, who was our coach at the same time. But we lost one game that year, and that was because Reggie threw up a last-minute shot at the buzzer, and it went in. We got Virgo back when we played them again for the county championship game. So the next year, though, is when you inherited players from both schools, Kevin, Tim, Reggie, Nat Fuller, Alton Huff, George Bragg, and a lot of others. And when we came in that year, you had to be salivating at the chops like, I can't wait to get this group of guys. So I got to ask you, was that the best incoming basketball class that you had at Laney?
Without question. Without question. When those kids watching them play middle school, I'm like, I'm going to sit back and this is going to be a fun 4 years of this bunch. It's funny when you talk about that team at Trask, and Kevin probably told you the story that everybody's talking about, how great they're so great. And Kevin always gets away with it. Coach, man. And you hurt my feelings. I'm like, what are you talking about? He said, you remember when they interviewed me about that team coming in? They don't know how to play yet. I got told Kevin, I said, no, I was gonna strip that ego early.
Yeah.
That you guys understand that you guys are talented, you're really talented.
Yeah.
But you gotta understand that there's more to it than just having talent. And they developed it. So they were just so good.
Yeah, we were very good that year. Speaking of Kevin, do you know there are two sides to every story? And I asked him about breaking the time that he broke Michael Jordan's high school scoring title and what your reaction was when he did it. And he said that he didn't know anything about it until you called him and told him. And you were just like really nonchalant about it and was like, yo, congrats, but let's move on to the next game. So is that really how that went down, Coach?
Pretty much.
Oh, wow.
Pretty much
okay.
That way. Hey, and much I love Kevin, I had to keep that ego in check. Kevin was just outstanding. He was, gosh, he was so talented. And and that's pretty much a true story that, I'm like, okay. And then, and even now, he lets you pick up. Kevin, now, just so you understand, Mike scored those points in 2 years. So before you get ahead of yourself, now let's keep this thing in perspective.
Right.
But yeah, that's that. So today he's still laughing about it. But yeah, he's man, it's great milestone. But we'll worry about that later. Right now we're in the middle of the season.
I got you. You won over 500 games during your 27 years of coaching. You won 6 conference titles, 2 state sectionals, and now you can add Hall of Famer to your resume. You were a part of the 2013 Hall of Fame class at Laney, and you just recently were inducted into the 2021 class for the North Carolina Athletic Directors Hall of Fame. So congratulations on that. But I want talk about those two achievements and what that meant for you in your career.
Oh, very humbling. Those two experiences are very humbling. More so because I achieved those things because of the people that were around me. And you know me, like I said, you know me for a long time. I don't have that ego. I know that my successes came because I was surrounded by some great people. My coaching, I had a great staff. I've always had great assistant coaches, Coach Coley. I've had people who were with me who did a great job. Mm-hmm. And you can't do it by yourself. Being inducted in the latest Hall of Fame, think that was very special. And because Lane is my place. Mm-hmm. And I've been there 46
years. Right. And that's what made it really special, that, you know, that this is home. And like I said, it was home.
The induction into the Athletic Directors Hall of Fame, that one really blew me away. Mm. Because one of the things that you really love is you have the respect of your peers, that they thought enough of me that things I did, not necessarily, winning games, we know has a great deal to do with, no question about it. Mm-hmm. But also that my school, as an AD, that my school did and does the right things. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The Laney High School has that great reputation that if you come against Laney, one, we're going to give you everything that we got. Number two, we're going to be respectful. We're going to do it with sportsmanship. And we're going to win the right way. And that's what I think I've been able to establish at Laney as AD, that winning is great, but we want to make sure that we develop the whole person, whole student athlete.
Right.
And I think we've always done a good job at that. You know, guys, winning takes care of itself. You've been an athlete. Winning and losing takes care of itself. It's other lessons that I think I've been able to instill in my players and my coaching staff that, you know, we have got to teach these young men and women that there's something, they got to be good citizens. And when they go out in the world, you got to have character. You've got to have character.
Yeah. When did you know it was time to retire? I know you're the AD now, but when did you know it was time to retire from coaching?
When it got to the place where, you know, being AD and the head basketball coach is tough because of the time restraints. And I always said to myself that I would never, ever cheat my kids out of the time they need with me. And as our programs grew, it was tough being the AD and the basketball coach because I didn't have the time for preseason that I had to have because, you know, we got all those fall sports going on. And as AD, you got to give them that attention. And so I said, that place where I can't give them the attention that they need. And they have to, you got to do preseason workouts. So the game has changed so much. You can't start practice. You know, you can't start practice a week before November. It just doesn't work.
Right.
And so that's when I decided that, okay, it's time to let somebody else do this job and turn it over to someone else. So it wasn't I lost the love of basketball. That's never waned. It's just that I knew I didn't have the time to give that I had to for our kids to be successful.
Not every high school coach can say that they had a former player that played professionally, and you put two in the league, with one being the most recognizable player in the world. Do you feel like you accomplished everything you wanted to achieve as coach at Laney?
I do. I feel like I've accomplished all the things I really set out to. Yeah, ego-wise, yeah, you won win state championship. But I think as far as being the right type of coach, I think I did those things right. I talked with my coaching staff. I said, if you want to know, and this is my own personal opinion, if you want to know how great a coach you were, how many of your kids or how many of your players come back and see you when they are adults? And how many of them, if it's during the season, do they come and hang out with you when they're out of season? And when you have little alumni get togethers, how many of your players come back? If they come back and see you and they introduce you to their families or invite you to their weddings or that type of stuff, then that tells you what a coach you
are. I agree.
And so I think that's been the thing that I still have relationships with my players. Yep. Even now.
Yep. And even Mike, because I know people are going to say, yeah. Mike Jordan come back? Yes, he does.
Yeah. And even Mike.
Yeah. And we all come back, including me too. Before we wrap up, I know you have the Fred Lynch Basketball Invitational every year. So I want you to talk about that. And when it's all said and done, what do you want your legacy to be? Or just how do you wish to be remembered?
The Fred Lynch Invitation was started by Nathan Falk, who was one of our basketball coaches a couple of years ago. And yeah, you know, he had done this at another school that he had coached in Southview High School, where they had a long time coach, and he felt like it was one way to honor me. And I really appreciate what he's done with that. We have it always in June. We invite anybody who really wants to come and play. I think last year we had up to 64 teams that played in Invitational, and it's just continued to grow. We have it here at Laney High School, and we've had it two or three different venues because it's been so popular. That was special to have something named after you, and teams come in. And it's great too that some of the teams that come are the coaches that I coached against when they were playing. And so that's a little different. Hey man, I remember you. I remember when you played. So that's always great. As far as my legacy, just hope people remember me as a coach who always did right by his players. Mm-hmm. And that when you met the Laney High School, that you know that we had teams that were going to play the game hard. Play where it should be played, and every night you walk out there against us, you better be ready to play.
That's right. Yeah, I agree.
You better be ready to play.
I think when you mentioned Laney High School, you're probably going to be one of the first names that people are going to, it's going to be synonymous with Laney High School, is Laney, really? Mr. McLaurin, Coach Fred Lynch.
I appreciate that. Yeah. But it, and it is, I can say this, Tomlin, it's great that people think a lot of me, not only in this town, but throughout the state. That's the point. And we all hope to leave a great legacy.
Absolutely.
We all hope to leave a legacy of something that was positive. And that when people talk about you, there's not a whole lot of negative things they can say.
Yeah.
Because you know, you're always going to have some people requesting something that you did. But I know that I've always said this, and I say it to myself, as long as you are fair and honest, you can sleep at night.
Yep. And that you were. All right, Coach, before I get you up out of here, I get to put you in the hot seat for once.
All right. Go right ahead.
So I have a series of fun questions to ask you. So there's a game I like to play with all of our guests who come on the field called the All Out Blitz. And it's just a simple game where I'll ask you a series of questions and you give me the first thing that comes to your mind. And your answers will determine if you win or lose. So you can explain your answer if you need to, but here's the catch. We typically have a 3-minute running clock before the final buzzer sounds. But since we're in the Christmas holiday season, I'm extended the time to 4 minutes. But I'm also going to ask you just a one or two more questions than I usually do. So I need you mentally focus like you're back coaching us at Laney again. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I'm
here
ready.
We go.
I'm ready.
Question number one, what does a focus driven athlete mean to you?
Dedication.
Good. Question number two, who do you think is the most competitive? A high school athlete trying to play in college. B, a college athlete who's hungry to get to the next level. Or C, an already established professional athlete.
I think the high school player trying to get to college.
I agree. Question number three, the toughest high school team that you had to coach against.
West Charlotte.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow. Yeah, they were tough. I didn't think about them. I thought you was going to say maybe Eastern or Southern Wayne. Okay. But yeah.
Oh, yeah. But that Eastern.
They were tough in basketball.
They were always.
Yeah. They were tough. They weren't great in football, but they were tough in basketball.
Yeah. Regular season, I would think Southern Wayne.
Okay.
Southern Wayne.
Okay. Question number four. And this is going to be an easy toss up for you.
Okay.
LeBron or Michael?
Michael.
Of course.
Of course. You know I'm biased on that one.
Absolutely.
When people have it, are you seriously asking me?
Thank you.
Are you seriously asking me that? Come on.
Question number five. You're a Laney High School dream team. Starting five. Ooh. That you would love to coach.
Okay. You want me to include or exclude Mike?
No, include whoever. Okay. Any era.
Okay, yeah. Let's see here. Mike Jordan. Kevin Woodard. Oh. Willie Allen. Zach Heron. And Darren Dickens.
Okay. That's a solid team. That's a solid good start. Yeah, you win the States with that one.
Yeah. That's a solid.
That's a solid team. And there's so many other people that could have gone on that list, but that's a solid
one. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
All right. Since we're in the Christmas holiday season, best Christmas song, Silent Night by The Temptations or This Christmas by Donny Hathaway?
Oh, Temptations. That's a, yeah, oh, come on. I'm an R&B old guy. Temptations.
I agree. That's a good one.
Hey, you got that one and Mariah Carey. Those are the two of us. Hey,
I don't know if I'll put her in, but I definitely would do that. I agree. You can't have Christmas out here in my mind.
You got to exclude the one, when she's singing live on TV.
For sure. All right. Final question for you, Coach.
Okay.
What topic would you like to see us discuss on Field Goals for the Focus Driven Athlete? And who would you recommend for us to interview that can speak to that topic? But before you answer, your job is to help bring this person onto the show.
Mine would be Hugh Tucker, the executive director of Hopkins Sports here in North Carolina.
Okay.
She would be the one. Okay. She's she's the first female, first black lady to run the High School Athletic Association.
Okay, good. Let's set that up.
She'll gladly do it.
Perfect, perfect.
I think she would.
All right, Coach, there's the final buzzer. How you think you did?
A minus.
Okay. No, I think you knocked it out. I think you knocked it out, man. That was fun.
A minus.
Yeah, but Coach, let me tell you, man, this was an honor to have you on. This was such a lot of fun going back down memory lane. We had some really good times during that 80s and 90s period, and I really appreciate you and all that you've done for the game of basketball and us as students. You definitely made a difference in our lives, and I'm going to tell you the same thing that I told Mr. Gilliard before he passed away. We might have laughed, we might have played, we might have cut up a lot, but we were also listening. We were also listening.
And that's great. That's a great thing.
So I just need you to do us one final favor. And that is, we're always looking to pick up some new listeners. So help us get your circle to listen to your episode and subscribe to our podcast.
I'll take care of that. Yeah,
no doubt. And one last question I ask everyone before I get them up out of here. Do you feel like you left it all on the field with us today?
I do.
Absolutely.
I do. And I appreciate that you thought enough of me to have me on this show.
Thank you, man. That's what's up. Coach, Merry Christmas to you and the family. I'm going to try my best to get down to see you in the game before the season is out. And we're going to definitely catch up a little bit more. And I'm excited about the best.
Okay, then. I appreciate it. Good luck to you and your program.
Thank you, man. Peeps, we got a new episode coming in 2 weeks. And that's going to be our last show in 2022. But you already know we got another great guest lined up for you. So make sure you hit that subscribe button so you can get an alert when the new show drops. And please leave us a review. And most importantly, don't forget to share with your friends. Also follow our Twitter handle at MyFieldGoals and connect with us on all of our other social media platforms. All right, you know what's up. Coach Lynch is getting up out of here. And so am I. We'll see you in two. That's a wrap. You've been listening to Field Goals for the Focus Driven Athlete. Stay connected with us by liking our Facebook page, Field Goals. You can also join the discussion on our Facebook group page, Field Goals for the Focused Driven Athlete. Also follow us on Instagram at MyFieldGoals. And be sure to head over to our website at www.myfieldgoals.com to subscribe, rate, and leave a review of our show. You can find us on Spotify, iHeartRadio, and all other podcast hosting platforms. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to having you join us again soon on The Field.